The Loads Bubbling Sales Tips podcast is brought to you by MTD Sales Training, the award-winning sales development specialists.
Welcome to today's Loads Bubbling podcast. Today we look at upselling and cross-selling in the sales environment. Have you ever had the chance to persuade a customer to take more of your products and services but didn't like to ask because of putting too much pressure on them? Listen along as we discuss the best way to upsell your prospect and how to cross-sell to different products. Our skills pill today takes a look at what to do when we feel we're lacking confidence. There are things you can do that'll help you in those hard-to-encounter situations. And our Inspire Me quote is from Eleanor Roosevelt, who helps us to see what makes us the person we are today. This is Mark Williams from MTD. I'm looking forward to sharing these ideas with you today, so let's get bubbling. Now, I read an interesting article by Jim Damansky the other day, where he introduces the rule of 25. This rule is good to know when you're trying to cross-sell or upsell your client. The rule states that after people have made a decision to buy, they have accepted they'll be spending or investing a certain amount of money. Now, if you've been taught to upsell or add another product onto that sale, it's unusual for people to spend more than 25% more than what they've just invested. Now, don't ask me why that figure's important. It just seems to be the cut-off point for most customers. So, if your client has already invested £100 in your product or service, asking them to spend more than about £25 more on backup products or services may prove to be a step too far. According to BigCommerce.com, cross-selling identifies products that satisfy additional complementary needs that are unfulfilled by the original item. As an example, think of a customer who buys a new car. What could be considered cross-selling? Well, items such as extended warranty on top of the maker's included warranty, car insurance, finance offers, gap insurance, etc. These are things that offer additional complementary needs that the car itself doesn't fulfill. Now, how about upselling? Upselling often employs comparison charts to market higher-end products to customers, again according to BigCommerce.com. Showing visitors to a car showroom that other versions or models may better fulfill their needs can increase value and help users walk away more satisfied with their purchase. Companies that excel at upselling are effective at helping customers visualize the value that they'll get by ordering a higher priced item. Cross-selling and upselling are similar in that they both focus on providing additional value to customers instead of limiting them to already encountered products. In both cases, the business objective is to increase order value and inform customers about additional product options that they may not already know about. The key to success in both is to truly understand what your customers value and then responding with products and corresponding features that truly meet those needs. The key here is to ascertain what the customer sees as value. If you were to find out how a customer measures the criteria against which he or she values the product or service, you're in a stronger position to ascertain if you could offer something that says to the customer, "Hey, how about looking at something that will do a better job for you?" Think about how this rule of 25 could work with your products. If you have an extra or service that could be worth your client investing in, think about the extra value that they'll get from those items or services. And be aware of the initial investment they've made. What could be worth them investing in? How much extra value will they have to invest? Keep this rule in mind next time you're thinking of upselling or cross-selling. It might help you to gain more incremental sales, and you'll have the knowledge to know how much further you could expect your client to go. Our skills pull today looks at what to do when you feel you're lacking confidence. Now, many situations can occur that'll make us doubt ourselves and lack confidence. What can you do when you feel that this is the situation for you? Well, firstly, recognize why this emotion is being experienced. Is it a natural fear that you encounter regularly? Is it something new that you're going to experience, like a job interview or meeting with people you don't know? Understanding why you lack confidence in this upcoming situation will help you deal with it better. First thing to do is to watch your self-talk. This programs your mind like a computer, and your confidence can be helped or hindered based on what you say to yourself. Saying, "I can't do this," or something similar, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and your subconscious sets out to prove you right. Instead, conscious use of self-affirmations can be quite helpful. Words like, "When I prepare well, I come across confidently," can give you the boost needed to overcome self-doubt. Next, understand that building self-confidence is like building a muscle. Just like exercise can build muscle strength, visualization, which is picturing yourself confidently carrying out a task or project, can strengthen the neural connections in your brain that drives overall performance. The more you practice, the stronger your confidence becomes. Then, prepare. Preparation is often the key to building confidence. It creates assurance and self-belief because you can plan effectively for what you want to do and how you want to do it. Also, have contingency plans in effect. What if something changes before you face the situation? Can you adapt to those changes to ensure you're still in control? Being able to respond calmly to unexpected issues is a good sign of confidence. Then, know your strengths and development areas. If you're good at making your points through facts and figures, make sure all your ducks are in a row and concentrate on highlighting those points. If you feel confident in presenting your points in a meeting that way, you'll come across as someone to be listened to and agreed with. An uncomfortable, unplanned, and unprepared presentation may well cause others to doubt your confidence in what you're saying. Another way to build confidence when you lack it is to use any critical comments as learning points rather than let them affect you at the personal level. Remember, critical comments are the opinions of others. Don't reply defensively or let it lower your self-concept. See them as learning points, and they won't have such a negative impact on you. Also, find someone you can use as a role model. Following an influencer or someone you can follow who shows great confidence in how they carry out actions can be an excellent way to build your overall self-assurance. You can match their attitudes, their preparations, and their abilities, and these will help boost your demeanor and your confidence. So remember, understand what is causing your lack of confidence and be prepared to change your mindset to build on your strengths and create awareness of any changes that you can demonstrate. Our inspiring quote today comes from Eleanor Roosevelt. America's First Lady is renowned for her sayings and pithy prose. One of my favorites of hers is, "I am who I am today because of the choices I made yesterday." This shows that our thoughts, words, actions, and deeds that we take have repercussions in the future, and we have to accept everything we experience as a direct response to what we did in the past, years ago, or yesterday. The choices we make now create the results of the future. Well, that's it for today's Loads Bubbling podcast. This is Mark Williams signing off and saying, remember to keep your pipeline full and your motivation high.
The Loads Bubbling Sales Tips podcast is brought to you by MTD Sales Training, the award-winning sales development specialists.